Today, I had such a fun conversation with Vanessa Quigley. She's the co-founder of Chatbooks. She is doing really great things in her career field and just doing all things with moms, and she's just really inspiring. I can't wait for you to take a listen. Let's get proximate. Welcome back to First Lady and Friends. It's been a minute, and so we're really excited. We've had some great experiences. We did an influencer breakfast with our National Governors Association meetings and an initiative, and met some just fantastic people that I've been looking at and seeing from afar and admiring from afar. And now I get to have someone like that on my podcast. So I'm really excited. We have today Vanessa Quigley. She is the co-founder of Chatbooks. You've seen Chatbooks. You know Chatbooks. The commercials are funny and entertaining, and they've just been really fun. And it's such a great idea for families. So welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Do you remember, though, when we met at Velour?
That is right. Battle of the Bands. That is right.
Our sons are musicians, and they were sharing the stage one night. That was fun to get to know.
That's right. I had forgotten about that. That was really fun.
I know.
It was really fun. Is your son, how are they doing? How's the band?
He is trying to decide if he wants to do it full time. It's a tough thing to, yes, as a mom, to know whether to support that idea or not.
Oh my gosh.
He's definitely talented. He has got what it takes, but that feels like one of the harder things to do in life.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've seen some musicians a little up close and that do it for a living, and that
can take
is
a toll.
Tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough life.
Yeah, but it's hard to tell someone who just has a big dream and so much talent, like, no, you should be an accountant. I can't do that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. But for right now, Afternoon All Night is a good listen on Spotify.
Check it out. Those are fun. And we use our son's music on our intros and outros.
Awesome.
So we got
same for my podcast.
Oh, you do?
My daughter's also a musician, and she wrote my intro and outro music. So I love that. See, we have so much in common, Abby.
We do already. It's so fun. Yes. I love it. You know, getting our kiddos, you know, and we'll get into this a little bit. I want to ask you about adult parenting because it's
a thing. It's a whole nother thing.
It's a whole thing that nobody talks about. We're going to talk about it today. But before we do that, I do want to go back to just tell me about you. Tell me about growing up, where you grew up. Tell me a little bit about your family and your background.
Yeah. I grew up in Florida. I am a seventh generation Floridian who never thought I would be living in Utah. But I love the beach. I came from a really big family. I'm the oldest of 12 kids. Wow. And, you know, as much as I love my life in Florida, I was ready for a change. And so deciding to come to BYU was one of the best decisions I made because I met my husband my freshman year at BYU. And we had the opportunity to live all around the country. And we lived in Europe for a little bit. And we moved to Utah 10 years ago to start our business. And I think we're probably staying here because there's a lot to like. And Utah has changed a lot since I was a student here.
Yes.
So that's something, too.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So let's go back. that was a lot to unpack. So let's talk about family of 12.
Yeah.
So I come from a family of 10.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
Another.
So I know. So what number are you?
I'm the oldest.
You? Oh, my goodness. Oldest of 12.
What about you?
Number 5, right in the middle.
Okay. There is a very different dynamic.
Yes.
There.
So boys, girls,
So me, 6 boys, 4 girls and a boy, which also was a whole new dynamic.
Yes.
Because I was like, you know, 6 boys underneath me.
Yeah.
I was the one that my mom asked to do everything. I was basically their second mother.
Second mom.
Right.
Yeah, you were vice mother.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I always say when I went to college, I had already changed a lifetime's worth of diapers. I was not interested in having kids for a very, very long time because I had so many siblings. But growing up in my big family was wild. And I mean, you can relate, I know.
Yeah.
But also like instilled in me so many values, like so much independence, and like watching my mom just make the impossible possible. And also something that I really appreciate about my mom is she set an example of not having to sacrifice personal development on the altar of motherhood, you know, and with 12 kids, like that's a highly demanding job, but she still carved time to continue to pursue the arts. She's an artist and was always painting or basket weaving or sewing or, you know, she would even draw business plans for like companies, you know, just constantly in a creative pursuit. And so that's been a great example for me throughout my whole life.
Wow. So when you were going to start your family, like, how much did you talk to your mom and say, okay, like, how do you, I asked my mom one time, I was like maybe two babies in, maybe mm-hmm. three. And I said, seriously, how did you do that? 10 kids. I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't recommend it.
Okay, so, I thought you were going to say what my mom says. I don't know. She had just it all clear.
Yeah, she does say that too. But she said, I don't recommend that. I was like, good to know. It's the expectation for me.
Well, I have 7 kids now, and there have been a couple of times where I've thought, this was a terrible mistake. What did we do? I mean, it's a lot.
It's crazy.
It is a lot. But no, my mom, yeah. It is a blur. It's nice that you can just hold on to the highlights, you know.
Yeah.
But as we've gone through some really tough things with our family, like my mom has opened up about some of the harder things that she went through, which they kept, you know, some of it really quiet. Like as we've gotten older and she's opened up a little bit more, she's actually starting to go through Alzheimer's. And so those memories are not going to be with her very long. And so I appreciate her opening up in such an honest way. My oldest daughter just had her first baby, and I'm like, I'm going to tell you all of it, the good, the bad, I actually even photocopied all of my journals. I was a pretty good journaler as I was having my kids, and I gave them to her for Christmas, and I'm like, I have no idea what's in here, but I want you to know all of it. Like, I don't want you going into this, you know, without like a real look at what motherhood is like, the ups and downs, all of it. Yeah. I did find one page. I told her I didn't have postpartum depression. No, I never had that. And I'm reading about like the first couple months after my first baby. And I'm like, I cried uncontrollably all night long. And I had to wake up Nate and he comforted me. And I'm like, wait, maybe I did have postpartum depression.
Maybe I just didn't have the vocabulary for it.
That is exactly it. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and I love now too, you know, it's probably a little bit of a double-edged sword, but now there is sort of this community of mothers and what you're doing and your podcast, Mom Force, and just talking about, you know, this motherhood and the things that we all go through really openly. I think part of it is really just so empowering for women. Like, you can go in and you can actually talk to people. You get it.
Yeah.
On the other hand, like, I hope it's not pushing people away from motherhood, because we sometimes forget to talk about the really beautiful things and beautiful parts of motherhood. So sometimes I was like, try to be careful not to discourage people from having babies, because we really love when people have babies.
It's a fine line for sure. And you know, so I'm going to break some news here, but this have not publicly announced, but my oldest son just told us that they are also expecting.
Oh my goodness.
They've had dogs for a couple of years, you know, pet grandkids, they're pet parents. And he's like, oh, this is too hard. Like, I don't think we're ever going to be able to have kids. And I'm like, you love these dogs so much. You can't even fathom how you're going to feel about your own baby. And, you know, they're 18 weeks along and he's already just like so in love. And actually, I don't know, they're going home to be with their dogs. They're on their way home right now. They've been visiting us, and I wonder if those dogs are going to have the same shine. But, you know, you just learn by doing it. Like, I'm all about, like, you got to present the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, the ups and downs. But, like, honest conversations is how we connect with people. And there's nothing worse than feeling alone, right? And in motherhood, you can feel really alone and isolated. And so that's why I love doing my podcast, where we get to share stories with other moms, and together we're stronger, the Mom Force. So.
Yeah, I think it is. There is power in talking about it. Like you said, with the postpartum, you know, just talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I went through it a little more with none with my first and second, which was weird because we were, I mean, I wouldn't say none, but, you know, just chaos, and but not the full like anxiety type stuff. But and we were 2,000 miles away from all family. We were in Virginia, and I just, you know, and then it was the third that hit me, and we were back in Utah, and I'm like, what is this?
Yeah, I know.
And you know, I'd never heard anybody describe it as anxiety. I've always heard, you know, depression, or, you know, you want to hurt your baby. So I'm like, well, that was not what I was feeling, you know, all the things. But so I think it is really powerful in having those conversations and making sure we're not alone. And I think, you know, judging other mothers is so 1990.
We're not having any of it. No.
So I love that. So, okay. So then you grew up, you came out to BYU. What did you study when you were here?
So I wanted to be a Broadway performer. I wanted to be on Broadway. And so I came to BYU to study music, which I thought that was the way to Broadway, but not at BYU. At BYU, you go to theater, music, dance, theater. I didn't know that. I ended up in the classical musical program and quickly fell in love with opera. And so my dream shifted, pivoted to becoming an international opera singer. And I was charging down that path and I was loving it. And I was feeling like I was getting success when I found out I was pregnant 3 months after getting married. And that was like, okay, I don't really know how to make this plan work with a baby. Yeah. Really hard to have an international opera career with a baby. Yeah. I did end up singing internationally, though. My husband, really? When we graduated, he got a job that ended up transferring us to Paris. And so we took our little family to Paris, and I sang in church a few times. So that was it.
So you were internationally singing.
Yeah, singer. I went into school to study music, and I got to use music throughout, like, all the years that I was a stay-at-home mom. You know, I had this outlet of music and performed a lot in community theater and in church, and I got to teach music a little bit. But, you know, the biggest pivot of my life has been, you know, what brought us here to Utah to start this business. And, you know, I actually thought we were moving to Utah for my husband to start the business, but becoming a co-founder and, you know, working side by side with him to build it these past 10 years is nothing that I ever thought I would be doing. I wasn't prepared for it in any, especially not in my schooling. Turns out, though, motherhood did prepare me in a huge way for running a business.
Yeah, that is, I think it's very underrated. Right. And I think it's starting to be recognized as such a training ground for so much.
Yeah. Well, and when my husband, you know, begged me to join the founding team and come to work, I'm like, I have no skills to offer. Like, I don't know anything. But he was the one to help me understand that, like, no, actually, everything that you've experienced in your life up to this point is going to help us. Like, marketing is all about storytelling. Like, you know, as a performer, that was my strength. I'm an expert storyteller. And then just like, we have a business that we are marketing to women and we need women on our team. You know, when he first put together his founding team, there was not a woman on the team. They were not going to be successful without me. So being awarded the Entrepreneur of the Year, like 4 years after starting the business, was like the biggest shock of my life. I tease my kids, it was the biggest performance of my life. I've just been faking it this whole time, but, you know, fake it till you make it.
No, it's such a powerful example to the kids. And I think that's to see your husband and you working together.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. Have your kids, how have they handled it?
Yeah.
What did they, I mean, when you went back to, I guess, back to work or into maybe full-time working, what was that like?
Well, it was a big change for our family. Yeah. You know, I was no longer able to volunteer as the art mom, and I wasn't like having home-cooked meals every night for dinner, and there was a lot that I couldn't do. My youngest was in kindergarten, and so it was easier than it would have been if I had a bunch of babies at home. But the whole family got excited about what we were building, and they felt equally invested. You know, the sacrifices that they were making was part of their offering and like helping build this business together. And it's been so fun to feel like we're doing it as a family. But my youngest daughter just applied to college, and one of her college essays was all about the impact that my example had on her as entering the workforce and what I learned and how she's got big dreams and what those are. And I just reading this essay, I was just bawling.
Yeah.
Yes, because, you know, even when we feel like we're doing the best we can do, you have moments where you might doubt or, like, you know, doubts creep in and you think, oh, what if I were doing it differently? But, you know, you can't do that.
Yep. Yep.
I read that essay and I was like, okay, this is exactly what she needed right now. And yeah, it was a tender moment.
That's so cool. I want to talk about the actual business, how it got started, you know, the ins and outs, and we'll do that when we come right back. We're back here on First Lady and Friends with Vanessa Quigley. She's the co-founder of Chatbooks. I have to say, the initial commercials that I remember with the mom getting in the bathtub, all the things, it was so great. And I think that drew so many people in. And it was such an interesting concept. It was so innovative, so kind of disruptive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love it. How did you all come up with this idea?
Well, okay, so the script was basically the story of my life, you know, busy mom just trying to do the best she can, and life's flying by so fast, and all the chaos and beauty and wonder of family life, but you want to hold on to it, right? And I, as we were fleshing out the script with the Harmon Brothers, this is who we hired to help write the script, I knew that, you know, I am an actress, but I did not want the pressure of having like this giant financial like investment riding on my shoulders. But I knew exactly who I wanted to hire, and that was Lisa Clark.
Who has been on the program.
The most amazing.
She is a riot.
She is a riot.
An amazing human.
And I like to think that we resemble each other a little bit. Yes. And she totally made it. Like her comedic timing and everything was just brilliant. But it was actually a really special time in like the history of like digital marketing.
Yeah.
Where Facebook was favoring long form video. So it gave us a chance to really tell the story of who we are and why chatbooks. And so we put together this amazing piece of content that just organically got millions and millions of views, and it was a huge boost for our business and really put us on the map.
And talk about sort of the beginnings of that idea to the concept of the company itself. I mean, I'm assuming it's same kind of concept. We're busy. We don't have time for this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, how did it
get started?
Well,
back in the 90s when scrapbooking was a really big deal and I had my first baby, we bought our first camera and we would buy film and we would take photos and I would take the film to Costco and develop it. And then I would go to the craft store, Pebbles in My Pocket, if anyone remembers. It was my favorite store, and buy the paper and the scissors and the pens and the, you know, this, all the things, and craft these most beautiful scrapbooks, in part because my mom had done that.
Yep.
You know, my mom was an artist and that was one of her creative outlets. And I loved looking back on these scrapbooks as like the story of our family's life together. And I wanted that for my family. So I was a really, really good scrapbooker for baby number one. And then baby number two, I kept up pretty good. She has a baby book. Baby number three has a few pages in his baby book. But by the time baby number four came, I had completely dropped the ball.
Yep.
And then digital photography became the norm, and you didn't have to print photos. And so I didn't even have anything tangible to glue in a book or do anything with. And they just,
when the teacher needs it at school, you're like, oh, shoot.
I know.
I don't know
exactly
how to find this again.
Well, and we were really blessed to have a lot of babies really fast. And so those babies kept coming. And the last thing I had time for was scrapbooking or even printing photos or organizing my photos. And so I got to this point with my youngest getting ready to go to kindergarten. And I heard him crying up in his room. And when I ran upstairs to see what on earth is wrong, it was just him holding a little photo album that his preschool teacher had made for preschool graduation. He'd been flipping through it just on the eve of going to kindergarten and reliving some of those memories and having big feelings. And he told me he never wanted to grow up. And it was adorable. But it was also this like sucker punch, this gut punch of like, I am failing in one of my most important jobs to help our family hold on to their story. Like the only printed photos he has of his life are of like the preschool field trip. And like, that is pathetic. But I also acknowledge that like, I don't think I'm ever going to have time to do that, like memory keeping like I used to. I definitely don't have room in my house to dedicate to all of the supplies that I used to require. How can I make this super easy and affordable for our family and for the other families that probably want the same thing? So I just had this idea that I am using Instagram as like a digital scrapbook, you know, of sorts. Like I'm sharing highlights of our family's life and the story, and there's a caption, and maybe there's a way to print that. And so that was the idea that sparked chatbooks, which has evolved so much over the last years. I mean, we're not using Instagram the same way that we did 10 years ago. Yeah. It's not a journal at all. It's more of like a digital marketplace.
Yeah.
But we still want an easy way to hold onto our photos. So now just through your camera roll and our app, we can help you, you know, highlight those magical moments that happen every day and hold on to them and reinforce the stories of your family narrative. And that's how it got started, solving a problem that I had.
Yeah. And I think that's so much of what technology and entrepreneurship is about, which is incredible. And Utah is such a great place to start a business and to grow your business. So maybe, I mean, like, talk a little bit about, so you and your husband are working together. I think it's really unique to run a business together. Yeah. Talk about that dynamic and how it's worked. I mean, some of us, I mean, Spencer and I do a lot together. We work pretty closely together, although right now we're, you know, we do our things and a lot of those things connect and some don't.
Yeah.
And But I don't. I think there's a lot of people out there that would say, I don't know if I could work with my spouse every day.
Well, I was positive I couldn't work with my spouse every day.
I mean, I'm the oldest in my family. He's the oldest in his family.
A little type A.
Yes.
A little.
And I like to be the boss in my world. He was always the boss in his world. And I did not want him bossing me around. And I just thought that's how that would work. But he was very passionate about building a company focused on helping families, you know, hold on to their memories. And we were living in Florida at the time, which is where I grew up. And finally, I was back in Florida near all my family and on the beach. And I just thought, this is where I'm going to live forever. We're going to host all the kids' wedding receptions in the backyard. Like, little did I know that, you know, we were not going to be able to build the business of his dreams in Satellite Beach, Florida. He was convinced that we had to come to Utah. Mm. I wasn't convinced, but after a lot of late conversations and...
He grew up
in Connecticut.
Okay. So also Utah.
He had a lot of, you know, friends that had moved to Utah and were investors. And it just felt like there's something special happening in Utah. And he would fly out here periodically to like talk to investors and stuff. And he's like, we got to go to Utah. And the only thing that swayed me was our oldest had just graduated, or was just getting ready to graduate from high school. And he had decided to go to BYU. And I could not stand the thought of sending him across the country off to college. I mean, I did that and it was really good for me. But, you know, my oldest child, I'm like, no, you can't leave us. And so I was like, all right, we'll go to Utah. Made sending him off to college seem a little bit easier. And, you know, Nate was convinced this is where we needed to build the business. And you know what? He was right. Like, so much opportunity here. Like, there is no way that Chapbooks would have grown into what it is today if we were still, well, we would have quit in Florida. It was here where this is where the influencers were. This is where the developers were. This is where the amazing photographers were. And like the money, like we are fully funded in Utah. So it was definitely the right move for the business. And I was willing to concede that and say, okay, this is my contribution. We are going to move our family from my dream world here in Florida. And we'll go to Utah, where I said I would never, ever live again after I graduated from BYU. And that's it. That's good luck. I hope it works. But, you know, it wasn't long before I realized that, like, how are five guys going to build a company that is meant, that women are their customers? Like, it's moms. This is a problem that moms have that they need a woman's voice. Yeah. And so I had to join. We started hiring women. We are now, like, 50-50 on our executive team. We have the most amazing women, which actually we call them the mom force. Originally, the women that worked our customer support troop were all stay-at-home moms. Mm-hmm. Women have played a crucial role in the development of our company. And the story as far as Nate and I goes, like, he and I have also carved out really different roles in the business, like you and Spencer. You know, we do come together periodically, and it's actually really good. We come together in some meetings because it's fascinating to me how we will both sit in the same meeting and have completely different takeaways.
Like that's a study in you know, I don't know, something psychology.
Yes. So you know, we balance each other out really well. But I think the 20 years that we were married and raising our family before we started the business together laid some good groundwork for that business relationship, because you know, we've had a fair amount of problem solving up to that point. And so there's no problem too big for us that we can sometimes agree to disagree and move on. But but it's been so actually strengthening to our relationship because, you know, all of those years prior where he was working and building businesses and raising money and, you know, holding board meetings, and I was, you know, doing the hard work of stay-at-home momming and all, you know, the carpools, you know. Yep. When he came home from work, I didn't want to hear about any of it. Like, I didn't care. Just come home and help with this bath and drive this carpool and get dinner started and, like, now help me at home. And I just didn't ever take the time to be curious about what he was doing and how stressful that was. But then being in the driver's seat with him and realizing, oh my goodness, this is what you were doing all those years? Like, I'm so in awe of you and I'm so grateful for everything you did to, you know, provide for our family. And it just, like, we had this new thing in common, and it was just created almost a new little spark for our relationship.
Well, and he probably kind of maybe had the same epiphany about you being home.
Yeah.
Because now
I travel for business. Yeah,
exactly.
And he gets to hold, you know, down the fort. And that's, it's been a real growing experience and a beautiful experience for us in our relationship.
That's amazing. I feel like we're kind of going through a little bit of that same thing right now, too. I mean, there's times, you know, just recently this week I traveled without him for some of my initiative stuff, and he's he's not liking it.
They don't like it, but it's like, good for them.
That's what I thought. You could do this, but it's funny. Yeah. I'm sure you get the same thing. I'm getting texts from my daughter, and I'm like, you know, dad's right there, right? Uh-huh. Like, you can ask him.
I know. That still happens, like, in the workday. Like, the kids still text me. I'm the first line of command. Yeah. And, like, yeah, I can let that bother me and be like, that's not fair. Yeah. You know, I'm working. Why don't you call your dad? Yeah. But truthfully, I'm glad I'm the first. Like, that's the role that I really cherish the most. So,
yeah, you do have those beautiful. Yeah, when my kids call me from college, like, that's where it's at. It's like, oh, they like me.
Yeah.
It's still
that's
good.
All that matters.
It's still good. So how have your kids been involved in the business?
Well, everything from brainstorming at the dinner table on like new ideas for the app and new features to modeling and campaigns. My daughter, she wrote this song for the podcast. She also wrote the first chatty anthem. Our older kids have all been on the payroll at some point. One, our oldest son was doing translation when we were going international. My daughter worked on our marketing team, and she was actually my podcast producer for a while. Henry was in analytics. Aiden did an accounting internship. My daughter Claire was my personal social media intern.
Love that.
So it's been fun to have them be able to provide like real work opportunity and experience for them. But it's just so fun to have something that we feel like we've built together. You know, years and years ago. Actually, while we're still living in Florida, you know, my husband is just like a diehard entrepreneur, and he was always talking about businesses to start. And, you know, he used to think that was the kind of pillow talk that I wanted. No, I the last thing I wanted to do was start a business. So he could never get me engaged, but he could get the kids engaged. And we had built out this whole dream around building a frozen yogurt shop in Satellite Beach, Florida. I'm so glad we didn't, because that would not have worked out. But it was fun to see the kids get excited about the different roles that they would play and how we'd work together. And so we're kind of realizing that dream together here at Chatbooks, even though they're not all like clocking in, you know, and working a shift at the counter. Like I said earlier, they've sacrificed things along the way, and they're super proud of the company that we built. And it's nice that we're building a company that's focused around strengthening families. Yeah. So that's something that, you know, we all believe in.
Yeah. What's next for the business?
Well, we have a new app called Hey Fam, which is all about connecting families. And we know photo books strengthen families. We have research actually that proves this. Yeah. We talked to 30,000 families, and with psychology professors at the U and BYU, they helped us analyze that data that points to direct correlations between looking at printed photos and strengthening family bonds. Mm. But it's the stories that we tell around those photos that really makes the difference. And so how can we help families do that? And, you know, we both have adult kids. Yeah. And we know it gets harder to have that communication and connection when they're not living in your own home. And my family text thread was a nightmare. Like, don't leave me on read. And for another second, like, answer your mother. So we actually created an app for that to help us connect with families. And we can have conversations based on topics in different rooms in Hey Fam. It's like a place to connect with family that's not pressing like your iMessage, you know, or like your work Slack, or, you know, there's all these different demands for our attention. And we wanted to create a safe place for family on your phone where we can have connecting conversations, where we can share photos, and we can, you know, tell the stories behind them. And then selfishly, those photos easily and automatically go right into your chatbook. So that's like, come on, you just made chatbooking that much easier. But that's like the big thing for us, is to help families see that like connection is easy and can be fun. And I know not every family has the same family dynamics that we do. And so, you know, your family might look different. It might be extended family. It might be friends like family. But there is strength in connection, and family is important. So we're just shouting from the rooftops the ways to, you know, the new family memory system that will help you connect and strengthen those family bonds.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So innovative, so forward thinking, and so relevant to the way our society operates. You've just moved this company and moved your ideas through kind of the iterations that we're seeing in our culture.
And another point is that, you know, social media was great for connection 10 years ago. Like, I really did feel like I was connecting with my sisters and my friends and family through social media. And I was curating it. Like, I was only sharing the highlights. Yep. But the lows, like the hard things we go through, are really, really important to our story. And those weren't getting enough There weren't enough conversations happening.
And if there were,
this.
It felt like a little like, I don't, to me, of course, I've always been a little social media averse.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little bit more private as far as just who I tell my story to.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what's interesting is sort of how do we tell those hard parts without feeling like it's a burden on somebody else to read.
Right. Or you don't want to be like we were talking earlier about being a downer about motherhood. Like you don't, but like reality is motherhood is hard and we're going to have hard times. But yes, there's a lot of different things that factor into what we share publicly. So we wanted a way to, how can we just in the private, like security of our family, be able to talk about the good things, the highlights, share the photos from the school play, but also talk about some of the harder things. And so Hey Fam was a way for our family to do that. And it's this beautiful, another way to help craft that family narrative that is so important to help our kids know like who they are, where they came from, what they're capable of. So it feels like important work and I'm just so proud to be able to do it.
I love the innovation that you're seeing and that you're creating. So I also, you mentioned a little bit earlier, we were talking about adult children and this is kind of my new like...
Yes, we need to talk about this more.
My mission to like help everyone understand what, or help me, people help me figure out adult parenting. So I want to talk about that and a few other things when we come right back. We're back here on First Lady and Friends with Vanessa Quigley, co-founder of Chatbooks, and it sounds like many other things, MomForce, Hey Fam. Mm-hmm. We're really excited about all the innovative ideas that you're bringing forward, and you guys just have such a great... I know you're not Utahns natively, but I think you have that Utah entrepreneurial spirit, which, we're the startup state. We hope to be the startup capital of the world. And I think we're on our way. So I love that you've chosen to be here because of the ecosystem.
It's been an important part of our story for sure.
It's fantastic. But I know that your life has taken some turns like most of us that were not planned for.
Yeah.
One of them that we want to mention is that you were actually Miss Utah, even though you were not from Utah.
True.
So let's talk about that.
Oh my gosh. I was actually so often so embarrassed by that because everyone knew me as like the Floridian. Like, how could you be Miss Utah? Oh, it's so funny. I never aspired to be a pageant girl. My dad actually was the one who saw, there were some personal development that I might be able to get through, doing pageants. He knew I wanted to be a performer and I loved to sing and dance, but I was really, really shy. And it takes a lot of courage to get up on stage and walk and talk and answer questions and sit through interviews. And so he started putting me in pageants to hone those skills. And I'm so grateful that he did. He also knew my personality and knew that I would not be devastated when I didn't win.
Yeah.
Because, who wins their first pageant? but I did accumulate a little bit of experience and I was a student at BYU, which is what made me eligible for Miss Utah. And it was Miss Utah USA. Mm-hmm. There's two different systems. This one didn't have a talent portion, even though singing was my thing. But I was kind of stuck in my life at that point and was in a rut. And my dad's like, you know what you need? You need a pageant. And so he signed me up without my permission.
Oh, wow.
But I'm so glad he did. I already had all the stuff. I had the suit and the gown and everything. And I was just like, okay, I'll do it. And I walked away as Miss Utah. And it was like such an amazing experience for me. Going to Miss USA, though, I have to say, I wasn't prepared for the spotlight that comes with being from Utah. And I went into my first interview just so excited. Interview was my favorite portion of competing. And the first judge was a football player from the Dallas Cowboys. And he was sitting back in his chair, like all tough. And he's like, so Miss Utah, I only have one question for you. How do I cure a hangover?
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, I was so shocked. I had no idea. Like, that is the last thing I expected.
Yeah.
I'm actually not from Utah. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But I actually don't even know the answer to that question because I am a good Mormon girl and I've never been drunk in my life. It was horrible. And I spent the whole rest of the interview just kind of like not even knowing what was going on. And I felt so bad, wow. but then also came out of it thinking, I am the representative of Utah and I'm going to do this well. And so I just, that was the first time that I really took on that role of being like, I feel defensive of my people. Yeah. And so I'm going to do all I can to shine a light on. And Miss USA was such a great experience. I actually still keep in touch with three of the girls that I met there.
Oh, that's
Miss Vermont,
amazing.
Miss Maine, and Miss New Hampshire are my besties. So
oh, that's
it was
so cool.
An amazing experience for me.
We go through these, when I go to these first spouse events mm-hmm. and stuff, we're always like, before I learn their names, it feels a little pageanty because
yes.
I'm always like, oh, that she's Florida. She's the, you know.
Yes.
I remember their state before I remember their name. So it always,
that's okay.
People do that with us too. They're like, oh, she's Utah. Like, mm-hmm. So yeah. It's great. It's a great way to represent the state.
No, that was so fun. I also just want to say, if anyone's yeah. listening and has any connection to the pageants here, I always thought judging would be a big part of my future.
Gosh. Okay,
I've
people.
I've never been asked to be a judge.
We've had Miss Utah on here, Sarah Sun. She's been on here before.
She's
we've had
awesome. Yes.
Miss Utah USA on here recently. So yeah, I'm sure they're always looking for judges.
Okay, hit me up. Okay. I want to do it.
Yeah. I have to tell you, and we're going to talk about this in my next podcast, but there is a pageant that Tooele, the special education teacher, does out in Tooele, Miss Rebecca Ford, who I adore. And it's a unified pageant. It's called, so we will get you out there to that.
Okay.
You need to come out.
I would love that.
It's Mr. and Miss Super Amazing Pageant.
Oh.
It is the most joyful thing you will ever experience.
Aww.
It's so cool. Anyway,
I love it. I love
so
it.
Just
see, pageants aren't all bad.
No, I will get them. They're not all bad. They're really, really,
really
powerful way for
I know.
For young girls, young women to yeah. really find confidence, like you said. I mean, I love it. My daughter did one, and she was, you know, it was the interview
yeah.
that was so important. I mean, how many times do you need to have real interview skills?
I honed there. Every single day,
yeah.
like in my career right now, yeah. but all through my whole life, like the things that I learned there were so important. Yeah. But it does require a certain temperament. Like it's not for everybody. And, right. you know, I kind of thought my girls would follow in my footsteps, but like I knew too. At a very early age, no, they're too fragile.
Yeah.
Like it's just, you got to have some tough skin. And,
yeah, for sure. So also I do want to talk about, let's get into, so you and I are probably similar in age, or mm-hmm. kids are similar ages, although you have three more than I do. Adult parenting.
Yeah.
This, to me, is like been a topic for me for a while because it's something that is a real struggle to try to figure out. And I just don't think I was ever really prepared for adult parenting. And especially in now, I mean, my parents were like, hey, see ya.
Oh, it's totally different.
Call if you want to.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 kids, so, you know, they're busy. They got stuff. And, like, I don't know. And now it just feels like, well, how much influence do I still have? How much do I know? You're watching them yeah. make decisions you wish they wouldn't or yeah. that are different from maybe what you would have chosen. But also, they're really good humans. And you're trying to figure out where your role is as a mother in that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, talk about it. What's your experience?
Oh, it's a lot. This is very, very loaded. Yeah, I think I went into motherhood thinking I know how to turn out the kind of people that
yeah.
are going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hard. This is a very emotional topic for me because I feel like we're right in the trenches. But like, we have so little control on how our children are going to turn out. And I yeah. didn't know that. I thought it was all about like how I dressed them, what I taught them, the experiences that they had, you know, the example that I set, that they, of course, will want to honor me and their father and be like us and follow in our footsteps. And, you know, I basically did that for my parents. Yeah. My husband did
yeah.
that for
yeah.
his parents.
Same.
And so these are the fruit of our loins. Aren't they going to be like us? And our children are all amazing and wildly talented and creative and very much crafting their own story. You know, I talk a lot about how parents, we have this, I think even obligation to help craft the family narrative of our family, the story of our family. And by, you know, teasing out lessons that we learn from like the good, the bad, the happy, the sad, everything that makes it who we are. What does it mean to be a Quigley? But as our kids get older and older, they take control. They are crafting their own story and they're going to make decisions, and there are going to be plot twists that we didn't anticipate or that we didn't pre-approve.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I have learned to take a stance of curiosity. And just like, I love these people because I love them, not because of what they do. Like, I genuinely love them and I'm curious. And it also helps that I've adopted this, my husband says it's stoicism, but it's like there are things that are not in my control and it's okay. It's like, it's all going to work out. And yep. like, I have this grand overview vision that I try to like zoom out on, and the things that really start to make me feel anxious or scared, I'll just step back a couple mm-hmm. steps mm-hmm. or feet or miles back and just be like, it's okay. It's all going to work out. Yeah. And it's the connection that really matters. Like at the end of the day, I want my kids to want to come home. Yep. I want them to call me. I want us to be, want to be together. And, you know, we don't have to agree on everything.
Yeah.
You know, the disagree better initiative, like that is so important on every level of our society,
yeah.
but probably no more important than in our own homes.
Yeah.
And there are some real things that we don't agree on, but it's okay. We can agree to disagree. We respect each other. We love each other. And as long as my kids keep wanting to come home, like that's a win in my book.
That's how I felt. I found this and you've probably heard this before, but me and my sisters, this is our mantra. As soon as you say, my child would never, they come nevering like they never nevered before.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Amen. Uh-huh. And you know what? When they're little and they're doing the thing you never said they would do or that yeah. you would never do, you're like, you still feel like you're in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, starting at 12, 13, you know, yeah. depending on the child, like you do not have control and you're not supposed to have control. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, it's cruel.
And my kids were like, actually, fairly good teenagers. I mean, just we really didn't have issues or, yeah. you know, they weren't doing things really that I wasn't happy with. I mean, really, for the most part, they did their thing and they worked hard in school and we all kind of had the same. I mean, obviously, yeah. they're teenagers, so you're going to have your things. But it was the adulting.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, it was like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, and also, let's flip that little quote on that's on upside down. Like, never say never. Like, when you think, okay, they are ruining their life. Like, this, why are they doing this? It's easy to get in that place of fear.
Yes.
And, but never say never. Like, life is long. They're going to figure it out. Like, through all of the hardest things I went through, I learned the most important lessons that made me who I am today. So, when we see our adult kids, you know, getting into something hard or, you know, that, you know, if you just listen to me, like I could have prevented that. Like, no, they need to learn this. Like yeah. maybe this is a really important part of their story. Oh, I love that quote. Okay. You got to send that to me. Cause that's like, I feel like that's the story of my entire life. Like everything is like, never say never. I'll never live in Utah. Oh, here we are. I'll probably be buried here. I'll never be an entrepreneur. Okay. Well, you know, this is what I'm doing. I actually never thought I'd have seven kids either, but you know, like yeah. sometimes life gives you a beautiful gift. Sometimes it's an obstacle. Sometimes it's a blessing, but yeah. it's all how you look at it. Be the boss of your brain.
No, it's so yeah. true. And I love that you brought up disagree better with our families. I mean, that's, you know, we're learning that it's a really tough issue with our families. You know, we have kids that have completely different political views mm-hmm. than me. And Spencer and I don't agree yeah. on everything politically. I don't think it would be healthy
no.
for us all to agree on everything. And I think giving each other the grace to be curious, to learn, to, you know, but still be able to have conversations. It's yeah. when we stop having conversations because we disagree with someone. I think that's where that's sad.
And I think you also have to the wisdom to know when to call it quits on the conversation. Like have
yes.
the conversations, but then there are some conversations that are never going to get to where,
yes.
you know, everyone's happy.
I agree.
Like it's okay to be like respectfully share your point of view and share your point of view. And now we've heard each other and be like, huh, yeah. that's really interesting. Okay.
The
now,
end.
So what do you want to eat? Like,
yeah.
where should we go? What movie should we see? Like, there is.
Find those points of
yes.
connection. For me, that's, yeah. I mean, and for me, for my adult children, it's like, try to be really curious about what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a son that's really interested in like film, and he's like, Mom, have you seen this? Mom, have you seen this? And I'm always trying to like, okay, I really should watch that because I want to discuss that with
yeah.
him. I want him to be able to talk to me about that. So there's just different, you know, ways to connect it. Yeah, you're correct. I don't think we have to get into the disagreements mm-hmm. always. I think it's okay to hear people out, be curious about what they believe and what makes them tick. But
people just want to feel seen. They want to feel heard, because when we're heard, then we feel like maybe we're being understood. And that's, in the end of the day, that's what we all want. It's just to feel understood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you. And good luck with everything you're doing. Good luck at Chatbooks, with MomForce, with HeyFam, all the things. I'm so excited, and especially for your family. Thank you so much for taking your time.
Thank you.
You can find Vanessa's podcast, MomForce, on all the podcast platforms, and go to chatbooks.com for more information about Chatbooks. Thanks for being a friend.